Wednesday Night Live. All right. The preamble is done. I've been haunted by the statement that a third of a video, the first third of a video contains no useful information, so I'm not doing that. It just burned my buttocks in a way that is not my favorite way. Sir, a fair amount. All right, let's see. Let's go back up here to your questions, and I am on. All right, never be nice to evil people. Yeah, well, that's true for sure. Hey, Steph, what is the philosophy slash origin of penny pinching? I've been trying to get over it and know that it must be in part from my scarcity mindset immigrant parents. But even though I still save plenty, I'll do things like stay hungry and keep looking if a restaurant menu charges me just 50 cents more than I think their food is worth. Philosophy origin of penny pinching. So penny pinching is left over from pre-free market economies. So in a free market, you have to spend money to make money, right? I mean, I have a very expensive camera. I got a lighting rig. I've got a very expensive amp here, a very nice microphone, and high quality internet. And you have to spend money to make money. So penny pinching is when, for whatever reason, you don't believe that spending money will make you money. Now, you guys know that there's two ways to spend money, right? There's, well, three ways to spend money. One is to spend money on consumables you need, you know, food, shelter, and so on. Another is to spend money on consumables you don't need, which is, you know, fun stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the second is to invest, right? If you want your money to grow, you have to invest in things that appreciate in value. Cash, sadly, does not appreciate in value. In fact, it gets eaten by the statist termites of central banks through inflation on a regular basis. And it's crushing just how much inflation eats away at your wealth. It's crushing just how much it eats away at your wealth. So a wise person with regards to money, obviously, you have to pay for the basics. You have to pay for the essentials. You need food and shelter. That's not an optional thing. That's not a maybe. That's not a nice to have. That's a have to have. And how much you spend on what could be called frivolities is up to you. And I'm not a big one for, well, you got to save rather than spend. It's like, well, that's not a thing. That's not true. I mean, if you've got 6 months to live, go spend your money, right? I mean, if you're old, go spend your money. Saving isn't going to, like, what are you going to? You get to pour your gold into the grave with you. Then even if you have money to give to your kids when you die, that doesn't mean that giving all that money to your kids is a good idea. Because, you know, there's this cycle. There's anybody who grew up poor. Hit me with the why. Let me get a sense of who's got what here. Hit me with the why if you grew up poor, but you're doing okay. If you grew up poor, but you're doing okay. Yeah, I would assume that most of you are in that circumstance, in that situation, right? You grew up poor, but you're doing aight. Grew up poor, still poor. Right. Yeah, that's fine. And I didn't really make any money till I was in my 30s, so that's not a big deal. So, please write a biography at some point. It doesn't matter if it's released in 10 years. It would be such an interesting read. Yeah, I was actually going to release, I wrote some part of a biography some years ago. And I was going to put it out to donors. I haven't had a chance to review it yet, but I found it just the other day. My dad was crushing it when I was young, then went bankrupt when I was 12, right? So do you know the relationship between, and I'm not talking about status crap like central bankers or whatever, right? But you know the relationship between growing up poor and making money, right? You know that, right? That if you grow up poor and you're intelligent, then you really, really want to make money. And then what you do, of course, is, this is the pendulum swing, right? What you do, of course, is then you say, well, I grew up poor and we were unhappy. And so I really want to give my kids a lot of money so that they're happy, right? You associate the unhappiness of your youth with poverty, not just dysfunctional parenting. But that's not true. The unhappiness you had as a child was the result of dysfunction. It was not the result of poverty. Right? Dysfunction results in poverty, and both are associated with unhappiness, but the dysfunction comes first. You're dysfunctional, you can't make any money, Like my mother couldn't control her temper, and then she kept getting fired, so she ended up being broke because she got fired from just about every job towards the last couple of years that she worked. It was sort of pointless. I remember I had a long list of all the places she'd crossed out and written numbers, and I remember I had to reach her in a panic one day for something, and I just kept calling, and they were all like, nah, she didn't work here anymore, kid. You don't work here anymore. So, yeah, so you're messed up, and then you're broke. And we've sort of reversed the cause and effect, and we say, well, if my kids have it physically comfortable, if they have money, then they won't be unhappy. And it's like, no. I'd rather be functional and poor than dysfunctional and have money, right? If you have money, but you're dysfunctional, then you're just in a pretty prison, right? You're still in a prison. In fact, it's even worse in a way because your surroundings are so pretty, but your inner life is so ugly. Hit me with a why if you've ever been unhappy in a beautiful environment. It could be on vacation, you lived in a nice house. Or hit me with a why if you've ever been unhappy in a beautiful location, right? Yeah, we've all been there, right? You have some girlfriend or a boyfriend, you go someplace, it's beautiful and you're fighting. Like, you've been unhappy. Now, did you appreciate the beauty? Did you appreciate the money? Did you? No, of course not. You were miserable because of your relationships or your dysfunction, as was I. And of course, like, I've had more fun with my wife when flights have been delayed and we have a baby with us. I've had more fun with my wife half living at an airport with a baby than I had when I was single with a girlfriend at a beautiful resort. Right? So, even if you have kids and you were raised poor and then you associate the lack of money with your unhappiness, then you will think that it will help make your kids happier to give them more money or more stuff. Absolutely false. It's absolutely false. I just had a long discussion with my daughter last night about money. We talked for like, I think, 2 hours about money and our history and all of that. And, you know, as soon as I could, right, if she wanted, like when she was very little and she wanted stuff, I remember when we were two or so, we went to a hardware store to pick up some stuff for the house. And she absolutely fell in love with this little rocking horse that, you know, you pushed a button and it neighed and it raised and lowered its head and it flopped its tail around, and she just absolutely adored it. And I didn't really want to buy it, to be honest. I just thought, no, this is going to get used and break or whatever, right? But she loved it so much that I was like, well, yeah, okay, we'll buy it. But as soon as we could, and Izzy said that this was the great decision that we made, as soon as we could, we put her on an allowance. She did chores. She made money. And then if she wanted to buy something, sometimes we'd pay half, but we'd say, like, it's not up to us. If you have some money, if you bring your money, if you want to buy something, you can buy it. Somebody says, I feel like you have special sharpness of thought in your recent shows. Is it because of topics or the fact that you're currently writing a book? It's the book, man. This, I can't even tell you guys. Okay, be my editors for a second here, my friends. Be my editor for a sec. Save me from myself. Save me from myself. From minus 10, super diplomatic and gentle, to plus 10, enraged. How angry should the Peaceful Parenting book be? Just tell me. I need to know. I just don't know. And don't goad me on, man. Don't just goad me on for the sake of it, because I got to live with the blowback, not you. Plus 10, plus 10, plus 10, 6, 11, 100 to the power of 100. Plus 10, bro, you know you don't have to ask. 10 plus, 5, 5, plus 5. What, no minuses at all? No diplomacy at all? I'm too old to have that kind of cardio to run from a mob in this way. Because I'm listening, I was reading it back today. I wrote for a couple of hours this morning, did like 5,500 words on how to apologize to the children you've harmed. And I literally want to bellow every line. It's the reasons behind the rage is just why the fuck does it fall on me to have to do this shit, right? Jesus, all. Why does it fall on me? We got 3,000 years of moral philosophy plus over the history of mankind. Parenting books up the yin-yang. Everybody and their dog is a moral philosopher these days, castigating everyone for their supposed moral failings and canceling everyone for their moral failings. Nobody's thought to point out these basic moral and logical contradictions. It's not crossed anyone's mind to apply rational moral philosophy to parenting. Like, nobody. Are you kidding me? We all were children. And nobody's like, nobody. Really. I mean, I've been studying the history of philosophy and the history of childhood. Nobody. So yeah, I'm kind of pissed. We've had, what, 10,000 years of writing and nobody sat there and said, hey, you know, I wonder if we should maybe take some of these abstract moral reasonings to apply to children, anyone? And Plato's like, oh no, you see, what we need to do to make the world a better place is talk about an abstract noumenal realm wherein concepts float around before we're born, and that's how we know what abstractions are, and that's really the most essential thing. And we have Eros, and we have Thanatos, and we have all of these perfect forms that we just need to go inside, go deep, meditate on, and that way we're going to start to approach some sort of moral perfection that can't ever be really defined, but you'll know it when you feel like, oh my God, shut up, shut the f*** up. My God. But John Bradshaw is not a moral philosopher. Well, you see, there's a world spirit. And this world spirit manifests itself in the arc and triumph of various nations over the course of human history, really like a bunch of ants randomly crawling across the honey threads on a sun-dappled picnic table deep in the woods. And the degree to which the world spirit manifests itself in the destiny of particular nations is essential in how human history unfolds and unfurls. Shut the f*** up. Shut up. You got millions and millions of children being beaten, neglected, molested, verbally abused, all around you. But the world spirit and how it manifests itself in the destiny of particular nations. Oh, my God. I mean, I honestly feel, okay, like E equals MC squared, yeah, that's complicated. The heliocentric model of the solar system, yeah, that's complicated. Cold fusion in a jar, yeah, that's complicated. I get all of that. Quantum physics is complicated. String theory is complicated bullshit. But it's like, hey, you know, be nice to children. I feel retarded, honestly, writing this book. I literally feel retarded. I feel like, well, this is too obvious to state. This is far too obvious to state. It feels embarrassing. I just know Smuggins is a real person who worked as a professor where Steph went to college. I never knew somebody quite that bad. It's a parody of the hyper-abstract, pompous intellectual who gives you nothing useful out of his endless, self-serving, polysyllabic windbaggery. Have I seen Sound of Freedom yet? FDRpodcast.com, man, just go do a search. I'm trying not to laugh because I know this is serious. Shall I do another? I could do these all day. Literally, I've done the whole history of philosophy. I could do another one. Should we do one more? Hit me with a Y if you want another Dr. Smuggins ignoring childhood. Yes? All right. Well, morality is really the pursuit of excellence in moral endeavors. Moral endeavors can be defined as those which are universal constants, perhaps across a culture, perhaps across an entire universe, or, dare I say, multiverse. And moral excellence is just something we strive for. Some call it, as Aristotle said, eudaimonia. Eudaimonia. Sounds like eudaimonia. Eudaimonia. And moral excellence is simply the lamp of human dignity and beauty that we are all drawn to, like plants are drawn to the very sunlight itself. And if we do pursue moral excellence, yes, it is true that we shall get great castigations from the unenlightened zombie head mob. But we shall rise above the petty concerns of the everyday to a glorious mantle. And Andromeda galaxy-style light strip across the very heavens, and we shall dance from star to star in universal... Oh, my God. Now, Jesus was pretty close, right? Whatever you do to the least among me, so do you also do to me. Any who harms the children, it is better that a millstone be hung around his neck and he be thrown into the deep ocean. My soul is painted like the wings of butterflies. I've involuntarily punched my phone. Yeah, just a little bit. Thank you, Jam Text, for the tip. Please don't forget to tip. It really does. Because here's the thing, too. Like, I'm not doing a lot of shows because I'm working on this book every day. And if you could help out with tips, I would really appreciate it. The book will be free, just so you know. Like, you know, because I want to take away the cynicism of. I mean, does anybody believe that? Well, he's just doing this for the money. You know, it's just an easy gig that he likes doing for the money. A new credit card came in just to donate to freedomain.com/donate. Hope it helps you through your book. Thank you, Bob. That is super kind. I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Would you like? I don't want to get off on a rant here, but hit me with a why if you'd like a rant about where society puts its resources. Just a little bit. I don't want to blow your speakers or anything like that, and I promise not to do it in a Smuggins voice, but... Tall, skinny girl sings about breakups, makes $1 billion. Moral philosopher talks about the future and how to protect children. So far, gets $35. Giant testosterone-laced men in tight pants with wide shoulders get paid tens of millions of dollars a year to throw and catch balls. Philosopher sweating buckets, taking massive amounts of social hostility, rage, and opprobrium to bring reason, peaceful parenting, and universally preferable behavior, the rational proof of secular ethics, to the world, gets, well, let's just say quite a bit less. The Kardashians post an, I like this chapstick. It makes my lips very pretty. And this chapstick is so good. And about 1 billion brain-dead women go out and drop $30 on a chapstick. Do you know that you can buy a microscopic Hermes handbag for thousands and thousands of dollars? And it's so small, you have to zoom in on a fingertip to see it. You can buy a micro purse for thousands of dollars. But moral philosophers beg for change in the subway. You know, can you imagine I set up a stall in a mall? I would sit cross-legged, though that's not the most comfortable thing for my 56-plus-year-old quads. Butt cheeks and hip joints. I set up a stall in the mall. Now, how much money Do malls make a day? How much money do malls make a day? Each mall, I don't know, what does it make? $500,000 a day? I mean, I have no idea, right? $500,000 a day, something like that. Oh, thank you very much for your tip. I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. $500 a day, so $500,000, right? So I set up a stall in the mall. You know, like one of those rather shady places that sell you phone cases and so on, right? I set up a stall in the mall. And I say, $40. $40, and I'll sit and talk with you for 20 minutes about virtue, integrity, morality, truth, reason, evidence, meaning. I'm not even floating off the ground, but it feels like that, right? In the mall. People come in there and they want to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I mean, tell me, is it just me? Do you find it somewhat incomprehensible? Because I have like an uncertain work schedule. I normally write at night. Recently, inspiration has hit me in the morning, so I write for a couple of hours in the morning. So I have an uncertain schedule. I don't have a 9-to-5, as you guys know. I mean, I work nights, weekends, whatever, right? You ever find it seriously odd? Do you ever find it seriously odd how many fucking people are at the mall in the middle of the day? I mean, is it just me? Have you noticed this? Like, my daughter wants to go get something, a dress or whatever, right? So we go to the mall. Why is everyone there? Why? Jackie Chan face. Why is everyone there? It's the middle of the day. It's the middle of the day. And why is it that being at the mall in the middle of the day is so strongly associated with rampant obesity? Yeah, maybe some are shift workers. I don't think that many. Is it all pandemic money? Is it welfare? Like, why? In July, casinos took in $1.5 billion. Thanks, Julie. Way to put the fuel on the fire. So, yeah, malls make a crap ton of money, right? I set up my little booth in a mall, and I was like, you know, I can talk to you for 20 minutes and change your life. This is truth, this is reason, this is virtue. Change your parenting, change your life. 20 minutes, right? How many people would stop? Oh, no! The handbag store has a sale on. I need my fifth handbag. Wait, hang on. I think those Manalo Blahnik shoes are half price. Sorry, I have to step over the liver-spotted face of the middle-aged philosopher to get to my useless shoes and vanity sack for the shit I carry around. I'm afraid I'm going to have to bypass the meaning, reason, and virtue stall so I can get to the place where apparently they staple fucking tarantulas to my eyeballs because apparently having eyelashes that look like Nubian arms reaching out from your eye orbs is the most attractive thing known to man. Sorry, philosopher, can't do the meaning, reason, evidence, and virtue with you. Why? Because apparently, this is pretty wild, Lululemon has now finally been able to produce stretch pants so tight that you can spray them on with aerosol. Actually, just paint them on. Lululemon is just roller paint. The thing is for women, I don't know why it's become a thing these days. Well, first of all, there's the pajamas during the daytime thing, which looks like they're sleepwalking or have been kicked out of a New Zealand hotel and beamed onto the other side of the world. But apparently, I don't know why this has become a thing for women these days, but apparently, throughout the entire evolution of humanity, women have just been desperate for stretch leggings so tight that you can count pubic hairs. That's apparently just been a thing. It's just apparently men have just been hungering to see that. Eye tarantulas is a terrifying image. Well, you see it, right? You see it. I remember when I used to go to Florida. Hit me with a why if you know the whole Florida. Do you know the Florida nails thing? Do you know the Florida nail things? Yeah, leggings or sweatpants. It's just that tight shit. It looks like you should be wearing, like you should be wearing something else. Doesn't it look like you should be wearing something else? Like, what is this? It's a race. It's literally a race to the bottom. And I swear to God, not one in 500 women who wears those stretch pants should even think about wearing those stretch pants. Like, you see this thing, like guys in muscle tees who don't have muscles, right? Oh, you guys don't know? You know the Florida thing, right? You know the Florida nails thing. So the Florida nails thing is that if you live in Florida, apparently it's a state law or something like that. If you live in Florida, you can't have regular human nails. You need intergalactic alien style phalange extending Uber nails. They need to be able to reach into other dimensions. They need to be able to tie each other in knots. You need to be able to cast sorcerous spells by waving them around. They need to be hypnotic curves of man-grabbing color. You just can't have normal nails in Florida. It's just not a thing. They need to be big enough to be human shields, like you can armadillo yourself should an aliens attack just by wrapping your nails around your head so that you create an impenetrable chainmail medieval helmet. This girl at my gym, someone says, who wears her pants so tight you can see the outline of her you-know-what. Yep. Shake your money maker. Yeah, it's wild. The longer the nails, the less a woman works. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, so, you know, like nails, long nails was so that you could show that you didn't do manual labor, right? That's what long nails. Like long nails and white clothing and impractical shoes. All of these are just, well, my vagina is so tight that I've got a rich guy. I'm so attractive that men throw money at me, therefore I don't have to work. I take that money and convert it into useless shit that kills the environment and my soul and my motivation and my possibility of having children. I monetize my beauty and I can be ridiculously impractical so that I can show I never have to work and that's how attractive I am. Woo! My gosh. It is, it's really tragic the degree to which feminism apparently was just liberating women from any restraint and dignity and moral or social or environmental standards. And I can now monetize being a 304 into an infinity of cash. And men paying women for the privilege of installing them in a semi-permanent spank bank. So we all know, where does society put its money? Where does society? In useless, vain, stupid, boring, ridiculous, empty-headed, bury you with your trash when you're dead, garbage. Garbage. Look, I see this more in women. But for the women here, thank you for joining. Appreciate that. What stupid shit do men buy? What stupid shit do men buy? Tell me. I mean, look, I buy electronics, but I use them all. I could literally bore the pants off everyone by going through my studio here and saying, well, I use these headphones for this, and I use this tablet for this, and I use this microphone for this. Video games? But video games aren't wrecking the environment for the whole, right? There aren't entire malls dedicated to video games, and you can get quite a lot of, you know, people pay $60 for Elden Ring, and they get like 100-plus hours out of it, right? So what do men buy that's useless? I don't think video games. I don't know what a lift kit is. 80,000 truck that's leased? Yeah, if they don't need the truck and they buy the truck, that's a huge waste. Absolutely. Vanity trucks? Giant watches? I don't think men buy giant watches anymore, do they? Because it's all about the sport watches, right? Sports cars? Yeah, I'll give you that for sure. Just bought a $120 chain tensioner that fits in my pants. What is a chain tensioner? Tickets to sport. Yes. Okay. Tickets to sporting events. Yes. Yeah. A friend of mine just sold his guitar after realizing he hadn't played it forever. So, yeah. Action figures? Not adults, do they? TVs? TVs can last a long time, though. And, most people watch a lot of TV, right? One, especially now that there's streaming and all of that. Designer trainers? I don't know any men who buy that stuff. But, again, I'm probably not the demographic that they're looking for. And more than one car? Oh, no, if you've got your wife working, you need more than one car, right? They buy bad women. Yeah, well, that's definitely a thing. That's definitely a thing. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I judge materialism by malls. Now, you guys know this, right? What percentage of household purchases are made and decided by women? What percentage of household purchases are made and decided by women? Somewhere between 80 and 90%. Right. So I go to malls, and I remember when my daughter was younger, going to the mall, and I said, some people say that the world is built and run for men. It's all about serving men's needs, that society is a patriarchy, and women just exist to serve men, and it's all about men. Okay, that's fine. Listen, I'm fine with that as a hypothesis. Let's review that. And we actually went through them all with a little pad of paper, and we said, let's find the store for men. Let's find, because if society is run for the benefit of men, then clearly, most of the stores should be catering to men. Because societies. Yeah. So Men's Warehouse. Yeah. And look, there's some. But, okay, to be honest. Okay, let's talk man to man here. Sorry, ladies, you can't listen to this. Okay, man to man. There are suit stores, right? There are suit stores. Now, outside of work requirements, if you need to dress up for work, do you buy expensive clothing for yourself or for women? S for self, W for women. Just type S for self, W for women. I mean, do guys ever get together? They're going to get together. A bunch of guys going to get together for lunch. Do they ever say, well, listen, man, make sure you three-piece suited up, man. You got to get yourself a tux. You got to get yourself a nice jacket. I want to see a clean-cut Brooks Brothers shirt. I want to see something custom-tailored Armani shit. You got to go Hugo Boss all the way. No, you buy it for women. Now, you could say, oh, yes, but women buy the stuff for men. No, they don't. No, women do not buy nice clothes for men. And this is not even my theory. Women buy nice clothes for other women, to impress other women, for status symbols for other women. You got a three suits. Yeah, wedding, funeral, church. All right, That's it. So you just go to the mall. And you understand, society as it stands, the economy is entirely fucking based on taking money from men and giving it to women. Right? You understand this? Hit me with an N if you don't understand how this modern, quote, economy works. How does the modern economy work? It takes money from men and it gives it to women, and women give it to gay guys. It's straight to gay, the conveyor belt. Do you know that as a whole, in aggregate, women don't pay any taxes? Like, you know that, right? Men pay taxes. Women don't pay taxes. Yeah, you know all of that, right? So men pay into the government and women take out of the government. That's just one way that wealth is transferred from men to women. How else is wealth transferred from men to women? Oh, student loans. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. Money is taken from hardworking men and given to women who faff around with basket weaving courses and then whine and complain that they have to pay their debts back. Quite right. Superior morality, divorce and child support. Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, also advertisers are constantly telling men they need to spend money on who? Who do men need to spend money on if they want to get dates, if they want to get engaged, if they want to get married. Who do women need to, like, who do men need to spend money on? Women. That's right. That's right. That's right. How about government work? How about HR departments, right? Like all the stuff that in a sort of hard-nosed engineering fact-based economy, these jobs wouldn't exist. Right? So you got to create this whole economy for women. Plus, of course, there are all these laws that equal work for pay of equal value, which is, I didn't even know what that means. I mean, I think that I provide more value to society than Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift makes approximately sideways 8 amount more money than I do. So why does society function at the moment primarily to transfer money from men to women? What's the purpose? What's the goal? Why is everything about transferring? You understand that socialized medicine transfers money from who to who? Socialized medicine transfers money from who to who? Old age pensions transfer money from who to who? Socialized. Who uses the healthcare system more, men or women? Who gets more money in retirement and lives longer, men or women? See, it's all just an entire tilted, rigged game to transfer money from men to women. I don't blame women for taking advantage of it. I don't blame men for being upset by it. It's just the way of the world. Why are they transferring all this money to women? What's the purpose? Of course, there's vote buying, but they could vote buy for men, except men tend to vote for smaller government. Why? Because men pay the taxes. If you're paying rather than receiving, you tend to be just a little bit more smaller government. Because women vote left. I hear you, you're probably right, but that's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing, right? Women vote left, but why do women vote left? Because the left gives them more money. The reason why money is transferred from men to women is to destroy the family. To destroy the family. The family, in a free market, voluntary environment, the family is the free market mechanism for transferring money from men to women and children. Do we agree on that? That in the free market, when women are having babies, that the family is the private, free market, voluntary, charitable, love-based mechanism for transferring money from men to women, right? So when the government forces money to go from men to women, it destroys the family. In the same way that the welfare state destroys charity. To direct the family. Now, if you get your resources from someone without having to provide them value, do you think better or worse of that person? If someone is just forced to give you resources, they go to jail if they don't, do you think better or worse of the person who is forced to give you resources? Yeah, worse. Of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. You don't have to treat them nicely. You don't have to treat them well. So, since the government forces men to give resources to women, women can treat men like shit. Right? Of course. Of course. You don't have to treat a serf well. If you're drafted and forced to be in the army, the army doesn't have to treat you well. Of course. If you are press ganged into the Navy doesn't have to treat you well. They can treat you like shit. Yeah, you have to dehumanize whoever you exploit. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So it's a way not only of forcing a system where the... Okay, why do men give women money? Yeah, this is like free market, voluntary, family stuff. Why do men give women money? Not for sex. The tempting answer is sex, but that's not right. Yeah, for children and commitment, to raise babies. That's right. That's right. That's right. And look, we know this evolutionarily speaking, right? We know this for absolute sure, evolutionarily speaking, that a man is going to give a woman money to raise his children. Because if a man only gave money to women for sex and didn't stick around to raise kids or have those kids raised, then those kids would not survive, not do as well, and it would be weeded out, right? Access to the means of reproduction, yeah. So, men give money to women in return for children. Raising children, transferring values, all of that stuff. Do we agree with that? That men give women money for the raising and instruction of children. We agree with that, right? So what happens to the birth rate if men are forced to give money to women who don't provide children? What happens to the birth rate? That's right. Yeah. This is depopulation, right? The woman gets a man's money by loving and raising his children. You force men to give women money. They can indulge in Lululemon pants and microscopic fucking Hermes bags and mall shit all over the place and ridiculous hairstyles and clackety-clackety Howard Hughes nails. You don't work for what you get paid for anyway. Go to somebody on welfare and say, oh, you should get a job that pays you nothing too. They'd be like, why? I'm already getting the money. If women get money without the having and raising of children, they won't have and raise children. Most of them, right? So you're bribing women to not have children. You're bribing women to not have children. This is what the transfer of money from men to women is all about. Why is Western policy so aggressively dysgenic? Because robots are coming. See, many. Okay, hit me with a why if you ever saw my video, The Story of Your Enslavement. You did, right? What was the central thesis of my video from 12 years ago, The Story of Your Enslavement? What was the central thesis? I feel like I'm giving you guys a test. Explain to me the central thesis. Farming? We're being farmed? Yeah, we're livestock. We're livestock. Sure. Yeah. Countries attack farms. Yeah, this is... I mean, from the very beginning, I've been talking about this, right? So if you want to understand what's going on in the world as a whole, if you're not looking at it like countries are human farms, I don't know how you'll understand it. Yeah, I don't know how you, I mean, there's just no way to understand it. So I'm sure you can take it from there. Society wants Taylor Swift, not Stefan Molyneux. Admittedly, she's a better singer and has very nice legs, right? But society wants a woman warbling about breakups, tottering around on her skyscraper getaway sticks, and modeling rampant materialistic workaholistic greed rather than fertility, fecundity, and the having and raising of the next generation. Well, I don't hate Taylor Swift. I'm you know, she's doing, obviously she's very successful and is making a lot of money, but it's a huge relief for me that Taylor Swift makes so much money. I love her for making all of this money. You do you. I still hate. Hey, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just telling you I love the fact that people didn't follow me to the new platforms. That like a couple of percent of people followed me to the new platforms. I love the fact that these tiny Hermes bags exist. I love the fact that malls are idiot traps for vainglorious idiots. Right? Taylor Steph. Yeah. No, honestly, I love this stuff. I think it's beautiful. I love the fact that Taylor Swift makes infinitely more money than me. I love the fact that people will line up for days to get Taylor Swift tickets, that people will pay $450 to park near a Taylor Swift concert, that the tickets go for hundreds or thousands of dollars. I love the fact that parents are standing in the rain for 2.5 hours listening to her whine about ex-boyfriends. I love it. I think it's wonderful. I know this sounds bitter. I don't mean, it's fine with me. It's fine. I don't, honestly, I genuinely love it. Because it releases me from having to care about what happens to people. People paid thousands of dollars to go see Messi kick a ball. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's beautiful. To me, it's like, go sports ball. You go sit there with your Doritos on your chest, being 300 pounds and screaming at elite athletes how they should just run better or catch better or throw faster. I love it. Do you miss the Freedom Aim barbecues from the late 2000s? They were a lot of fun. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It frightens me, surrounded by idiocracy. I understand that. I really do. Go to the gym. Steph, can you please address my depopulation question? Seems like you are contradicting yourself. All right. Just out of curiosity, have you tipped? Kind of demanding for a guy who I don't think has tipped. That means I want to be fair. I want to be fair. Yes, go to the gym. Yeah. Yeah, go to the gym. Look, you don't know what your political opinions are or your view of the world is if you're physically weak. You don't know that at all. You don't know that. You don't know what your opinions are if you're physically weak because your body is frail and tremulous and you're nervous and you can't stand up for yourself and you don't have the physiology or physiognomy of somebody who's strong and physically capable. All right. Existiert. Yeah, you haven't donated. Hey, you don't have to donate to get a question answered. It's just, you know, seems like you're contradicting. Could you please answer this question? It's like, you know, it's pretty demanding. Pretty demanding for somebody who's not tipping. I'm a subscriber and you're tipping regularly. All right, well, that's fair. That's totally fair. I appreciate the correction. How about all the sickly philosophers? Yeah, that's not good. This is something I don't understand. If you keep talking about Taylor Swift, you're only giving her more free attention, which makes her more money, which only makes the issues larger for women. You're kidding me, right? You're kidding me, right? You think that Taylor Swift you think that Taylor Swift ticket sales are going to get a bump from my live stream? Is that what you think the market is? Well, you know, Free Domain listeners are really core Taylor Swift fans. I'm sure that most Free Domain listeners would love to pay $2,000 to listen to a pale stick insect warble about ex-boyfriends. I'm pretty sure. You know, we could advertise on teen forums. We could advertise on TikTok, but no, we've got to crack that micro-philosophy market, that niche market of philosophers exiled from mainstream society. Somebody says, thanks for tonight's discussion. This is exactly my topic. Thank you so much, Steph. You are very welcome. Steph, you should get a cut of all the ticket sales you will bring to Taylor Swift. I think her real name is actually Taylor Swiftly Becoming Infertile. The tweet heard around the world gives her tons of free attention. Ever since you've tweeted about her eggs, fans have hung on your every word. Yeah, it's funny, eh? Like, tons of women out there are saying, well, you just have small penis energy. Oh, you just must have a micro penis. And then, but somehow, like, talking about a man's genitals is totally fine, and insulting him on his genital size is totally fine. But mentioning biological facts about a woman's eggs apparently is just incredibly insensitive. Oh, no. Is there another rant in here? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, it's too soon. I can't do another rant. It's too soon. I'm not ready. Oh, but it's coming. I need a giant, like, toilet plunger. Just put it on my face so that I don't do it. I don't know. Do you want it? Should we just keep going with this topic, or should we do a rant? Premature rantulation. That's right. Oh. Let the rant boil over before you open the lid. Oh! It cometh. All right. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming. Okay, here we go. Here we go. All right. Hit me with a why. If you've ever had a woman say to you, I'm just not feeling it. Doesn't feel right. I'm not in the mood. It's just... it doesn't align with my emotional sensibility at the moment. I don't feel any chemistry. I don't feel that spark. It's just, you know, it's just not happening for me, like, emotionally. I'm not there. I'm not feeling it. I'm not there. Oh, so wouldn't male privilege be, oh, you know what? I'm not feeling like paying my taxes. I'm not feeling like getting up and going to work. I really don't feel like going downstairs to check on that bump in the night that we heard at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't feel like going to war. I don't feel like getting drafted. It just doesn't align with me emotionally to pay child support. Like, I'm just not feeling it, Your Honor. It's not happening for me. And look, if it's not happening for me, frankly, it's just not happening. Isn't that wild? Now that, my friends, is absolute freaking privilege. To have a magic shield for responsibility called, I don't feel like it. It's just not happening for me. Oh, yeah, the vibe thing. Yeah, we just don't have the same vibe, man. We're not vibing. Yeah, ask a woman out, right? Ask a woman out. I'm not saying do this, but just a mind exercise to check your privilege. Check your privilege, man. Just check it. Ask a woman out for dinner. Order some expensive shit, right? Appetizers, wine, main course, dessert, the whole thing. You know, a couple of $100 these days, right? Just for the appetizer, right? Just do all of that. Then the bill comes and you say, you know, I'm not feeling like paying. I don't feel like we're close enough for me to pay. I don't feel like we're kind of connected or vibed enough for me to pay. I'm not feeling it, to be honest. Like, it's just not happening for me. So, yeah, I'll just let you take care of it. It's not happening for me. No, I've looked inside, you know, it's just, I'm not feeling it. Yeah, sorry, my wallet just doesn't feel like covering your share. I just, it's not, you know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you're vibing. Sometimes you feel it. I'm just not feeling it. So, yeah, if you could just, you know, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and powder my nose. If you could just settle up, that'd be great. Just don't wear your good clothes for that. You're about to get a wine to the face. Yeah, have you seen this new trend on TikToks or social media? This new trend of, you know, when it's really cold out and the car needs to be cleaned off from the snow, I can just feel the feminism leave my body. There's this woman saying, you know, I've just given up all my female privilege, and it's a guy ahead of her who's rowing like crazy and pulling her along on the kayak, right? You saw that, right? Now, do you know why this has suddenly happened? Do you know why this has suddenly happened? You think these things come out of nowhere. Of course they don't. There's nothing organic left in society. There's nothing organic left in society except my rants. Do you know why this is happening, that women are being told to give up their privilege in return for men doing stuff? Fed rate hike? No, because the economy is collapsing? Nope. No, it's not because the system is collapsing. Oh, I guess I think I might have the link. I might have the link for you. I might have the link for you. where are these things? Where are these things? Oh, that's right. Can I? Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. All right. So this is, I have no feminism left in my body. And this woman is being towed by a hardworking guy on a canoe. That's sort of the first one thing, right? And the next one that comes up is getting my guy friends to build my furniture by pretending my tiny lady brain doesn't understand the directions. And this woman is just laughing as these guys put these her furniture together. And she says, ask not what you can do for the misogyny, but what the misogyny can do for you. And she's just smiling. And then there's a woman, of course, she's in the tight yoga pants, and she just wants to look cute and show you her butt when she's running away. And then she says, the feminism leaving my body when he asks me to split the check. And this woman is just like slowly running away from all this stuff. And then there's this other girl in scrubs dancing. I guess she's a nurse. And she says, the feminism leaving my body when the firemen say they'll lift my patient for me. And she's just doing the dance and shaking her butt and all that kind of stuff, right? And then the last one is the feminism leaving my body when it's time to scrape off the car. And there's this guy out there scraping all the snow off the car, right? And this is feminist when it's convenient is a new trend for women. I'm shocked. It's not a trend. It's not accidental. It shows there's nothing organic about it. Why are we suddenly seeing, you know what? I'll give you guys the link. You can, I don't mind, you can have a look at this if you want. You can have a look at this if you want. It's like 40 seconds. So it's not a big deal. Let me share this for you. Copy the link. Copy the link. Sorry, I can't literally do that voice for too long. Okay, here we go. I'll put this here and here, and you can review this if you want. It's 40 seconds long. And it's got dun, 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 dun. Right, it's got all that kind of crap going on, that really annoying meme music. I like the Steve Howe bit, though. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. Sorry, one other place. I need to post it. Got to post it here. let's see here. It's just an ape-brained flex of privilege. Nope. Nope. Valley Girl Wars. Incoming war. Yeah, that's right. You got it, baby. You got it. Existiert. And for the person I nagged at for not donating, if you're a subscriber, just let me know. Sorry, you said that. Yeah, because they're talking about a draft, right? So it's time to get women to give up feminism because a draft is coming, right? I mean, you know, the whole EPA thing, right? Like the Equal Protection Act, that they wanted to make it in the Constitution that you couldn't have different laws for men and women. And women loved this, you know, because it was feminism and the patriarchy fighting and, right, they loved all this stuff until the late, great, Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly was a political commentator, and she was constantly nagged at because she wasn't a lawyer and she kept talking about matters of law. So she was like mother of the year in Indiana or something like that. She raised six kids and she also got a law degree. Her kids are all great. Actually, I met one of them a couple of years ago when I gave a speech at in St. Louis. And she went around wanting to get rid of the EPA, Equal Protection, ERA, sorry, Equal Rights Amendment, Equal Rights Amendment, EPA's Environmental Protection Agency, sorry, Equal Right, the ERA. And it was close to getting ratified by the states enough to become part of the Constitution until she pointed out, well, you know, this means you can get drafted. And women are like, whoa, what? Sorry, what now? We can get drafted? Well, we're not so much for the Equal Rights Amendment. If we can get drafted, thank you very much. We don't want that much patriarchy. Really, really, really. Somebody says, if Israel can have their citizens participate, I'm sure we will figure something out for these women. Well, I mean, that is going to be, but that's going to be what's going to happen eventually. It's like, oh, you want to be men? Okay, you could be drafted. And then women were like, whoa, what? Wait, being a feminist isn't just getting free stuff and scorning men? Oh, no, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, we'll take the power. Not so much the responsibility. Majority of women in the West do not respect men. In fact, they hate us. I don't take it personally. You know that, you know, power corrupts, right? Like, don't blame women for the fact that power corrupts. Power corrupts men too. Women are beautiful, wonderful, amazing, magical, fantastic creatures. Women are wonderful. Women plus the state are corrupted, right? Don't blame women for the corruption of the state. Men are corrupted by the state as well. A lot of y'all are living lives of eternal adolescence, not going out there, not dating, not settling down, not getting families, and y'all just blaming women. Y'all just blaming women. Hit me with a wife, you're mad at women. You're a man here, you're mad at women. Hit me with a wife, you're a man here, you're mad at women. Oh, the women are just such low quality and just tattooed and leftists and blue-haired. And women are just... Oh, you're mad at everyone? Some, but not all, right? Now, you know that you have to earn... If you want to hate, you have to earn. Now, I don't recommend hate as a whole, but if you want to hate... You have to earn. Now, how could you legitimately end up hating women? I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's valid. But if you wanted to, like if you want to justify your hatred, how would you legitimately end up hating women? What would you have to do first to legitimately, or at least semi-legitimately, hate women? Become a monk? No. No, become a Tate fan, give a birth, have a horrible mother, give them a chance, be a successful man. Yeah, right. Oh, paper eater, you are. Eating truth and spitting fire. Yeah. If you work really hard to become as high a quality a person, a version of yourself as humanly possible, if you, you know, exercise without becoming ridiculously jacked, which is a sign of probably some body dysmorphia, but yeah, reasonably fit, attractive, good skin, good teeth, eye contact, good conversation. Let's work on your sense of humor. Be funny. Have some decent coin. Be a quality guy. Be a quality guy. How long does that take? It probably takes about maybe 15% of the amount of time that most men spend playing video games every week. I mean, do you know how video game addiction, not to mention porn addiction, makes men ridiculously unattractive? Right? You know that, right? Video game addiction gives you that slope-shouldered, hunched-over, doughy, neck-beard unappealingness, right? Right, women run to the state for their money, and men run to pornography for sexual satisfaction. Corrupts everyone, right? Could you not argue office work does the same? Well, first of all, just get a standing desk. Like, I mean, I'm standing, right? I've stood for most of the shows I've ever done. I walk around doing shows. I'm working out while I'm writing books. Just move. People come to you for a meeting, say, let's walk. Get a standing desk. Walk around. If you've got a call to take, walk around while you do. Like, you don't have to just sit at your desk like Gollum chained to a oar in the bottom of a slave boat. And let's say that office work is not great for you. It's not. Okay. So then don't go from 8 hours of office work to 3 hours of video games. Yeah, I stood at my office job, took the stairs, went to the gym a few nights a week. Yeah. How long does it take to go from video game guy to attractive guy? I mean, the differences are visible within weeks and highly visible within months. And if you're going to play video games, listen, I enjoy a good game of Catan, which is a board game. And so when I'm playing Catan, I'm on a bike machine. Sometimes when I'm playing Among Us with my daughter and her friends, I will do weights. Because, you know, I can't do weights while I'm doing the controls, but then there are these 2 or 3 minute meetings to determine who you kick out for being the murderer. I can do weights then. Would like to walk and watch the stream, but eyes on the screen while walking outdoors is a bad idea. Yeah, I get that. But you can stand and watch it, right? You can also, you know, honestly, you can get a bike machine for like $400. You don't need some super thing that takes you on a tour of the Alps. Just get a basic, I have like a basic bike machine. Even one where you manually adjust. I just set it to medium to hard and, right? I do like 35, 40 minutes. It goes up to 23 and I do 21. I haven't quite got to 23, right? So you can put me up on a bike machine and just incorporate movement into what you do. Sorry, I don't mean to sound too frustrated, but this is not brain surgery. I'm not asking you guys to learn ancient Aramaic and translate it into Yiddish. Just incorporate movement into what you do. If I can move while writing a book and doing a philosophy show and doing call-in shows, right? You've seen me do my walks in the woods. You've heard me walking around while I'm doing call-in shows. You've heard the birds, right? Just find a way to incorporate movement into what you do. I played a game called Galaxy on Fire. It was like a little space. I'm still a bit of a sucker for space shooters, right? Although I haven't played a good one in forever. But it was like a tilty, shooty, flying around and gather resources and make stuff and trade. It was on a little tablet, right? It was a good game, right? Yeah. They had two. I don't think they ever did a three. Oh, no, they did a three, but then they shut it down. Galaga, that's a little basic, right? Yeah, is it Galaxy on Fire 2. I think I even played the expansions. I have no regrets for playing those video games because I played those video games while I was on a bike machine. Why not? You can incorporate these things. Put your Xbox with the screen or the PS, like, with a bike machine, right? When I'm watching a show, we're watching a couple of Kitchen Nightmares. Did you ever see this old Gordon Ramsay? She's old now. A couple of Kitchen Nightmare shows we've been watching, and they're actually very interesting and very psychological and actually quite deep. And so when we are watching the Kitchen Nightmare show, I'm on the floor, on the carpet. I do leg lifts and I do sit-ups. Why not? Just incorporate moving into what you do. I like lifting better than running. What am I going to run from? Running is tough. Why is it a guilty pleasure? Kitchen Nightmares is very interesting. It teaches you a lot of good information and education. He's basically like JoJo the super nanny for, you know, it's a funny thing. Just if you haven't seen the show Kitchen Nightmares, it's worth watching. I think it's free at the moment. But it's a show about a guy with energy, drive, and intelligence coming into a situation where people are paralyzed and drifting towards failure, like restaurants that have been losing money for like 3 years and are like $300,000 in debt. He comes in and turns it around because people are just doing this death march to dissolution. And it just shows you, like, you just have to. I mean, I don't know why people, when they're facing disaster, why don't they just change and do something different? Why don't they read books? Why don't they figure out how to run a business? Like, when I was in the business world and I became chief technical officer and I had to talk to investors and potential clients and I had to hire people, I just read a ton of books You can figure it out, right? This is before YouTube, right? I just read a ton of books on how to be a manager and how to manage and how to, right? Just learn stuff. My God. It's crazy. I don't know why people just, oh, do the same thing. Different outcome. Same reason why good men stay with bad women? No, I don't think so. Oh, is there a UK version as well? Oh, I didn't know that. All right. Let's get to your comments, issues, questions, problems. And sorry. Will this be uploaded in audio format? Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind so many people. Like, you know that there's a FDRpodcast.com. You can just subscribe there and it'll just show up in your feed. It's magic. You can just leave your, you can listen to me at night if you want, right? Oh, I'm not that great at night listening because I do yell from time to time. A lot of new people here, I think. All right. So sorry to that person. I said I would answer your question. No premium shows on FDRpodcast.com. Why is this not a premium show? Do you see only for supporters turned on? Have you been kicked off if you're not a supporter? So I'm so sorry for the person who was complaining that I had not asked the question. Please let me know. And I will answer your question. And if you're finding what I'm saying useful, valuable, interesting, revelatory, encapsulatory, efficientatory, or just a damn good fireside story, you can tip me here. You can tip me on Rumble. You can tip me at freedomain.com/donate. I quit video games totally. They were too distracting. I'll play them again when I have children to play them with. Yeah, I went through a long time without video games, really. Did you ever do a review of Puss in Boots, The Last Wish? I did not. Cat fetishes bother me. Pet fetishes as a whole bother me. Playing Minecraft with kids would be so much fun. I don't get Minecraft. I can't say that. I don't get Minecraft. I don't understand. The graphics are shit. You just break things and build things. There's some story about you build stuff and then you go fight the Ender Dragon. And I've done all of that. My daughter led a whole team of people to take on the Ender Dragon. I just don't get it. I don't understand why it's... I can understand, I guess, maybe a couple of people liking it. I have digital Legos, but I don't understand. It's not a creative game. It's not a creative game at all. Well, you can mix stuff and build new stuff. It's like, that's not creative. Now, Dungeons and Dragons, verbally, now that's a creative game. Minecraft, good for OCD. All right. But it's, you understand, it's the most popular video game that has ever been made. And I do not understand it. Like, there's some games I don't get, but I get the appeal. Like, I'm not a big one for, I don't know, Candy Crush, right? I played it a little bit when my daughter got into it. It's fine. Angry Birds, yeah, I can kind of see it. But Minecraft, don't get it at all. I don't get it at all. Now, Izzy's off Minecraft. She doesn't play it anymore. Because she's not 12, right? Right, so let me just sum it. Some person is, and rightly so, you are rightly annoyed at me, and I appreciate that, and I apologize for that. Turn off your brain autopilot? Well, but that's true of most video games, right? I do find it funny, though, when people put these videos of when they try to render better graphics in Minecraft, and their computer just explodes, and the entire city block lights go off. I'd pay good money in tips or donations to watch Steph play Alien Isolation for a Halloween special or something. Oh, that's one of these, like, being hunted by the alien beast, like the acid-veined alien beast on a spaceship. Do you get cited in a lot of scientific work? I know a psychological doctorate thesis that cites UPB. I mean, I don't know. I doubt it, but it could happen. Why would the government want to depopulate if less people means less taxes? Thank you. Oh, is that your question? Is that your question? Well, I don't think you need me for that, do you? Let me just put this question in. Okay, and the people can answer this, I'm sure. Why would the government want to depopulate if less people meant less taxes? well, to control people, but the governments always want to do that, right? Yeah, too many. Yeah, James, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, because most people don't pay taxes, right? We know that, right? Most people don't pay taxes. They're net receivers, right? You know that the unfunded liabilities in American, in the American political system, unfunded liabilities, which are what the government has promised to pay people that doesn't have any money to pay. You understand that they're $200 trillion short, which is more than 10 times the entire economy. They're more than two. That's not even counting the national debt. That's just unfunded liabilities. They're like $200 trillion short. It's a complete fantasy. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh because this is a pretty serious topic. But if you can't find, you laugh or you cry, right? I think you kind of got to try and find the fun where you can. Yeah, people don't pay taxes. I mean, most, like, at least half the population is a net receiver of taxes. And that doesn't even count government employees and stuff like that, right? What percentage of the world do you think would drop dead in a few months if all social services just got canceled? Very few. Very few. Yeah, very few. Okay, so tell me, who do you think is the most at risk if government, and you say if all social services get canceled, they're going to get canceled. Like, there's no money to continue. I've written a whole novel about this. You can get it at freedomain.locals.com. It's called The Present. You see, the top few percentage of taxpayers pay most of the taxes. Okay, so you think single mothers, right? Let's take single mothers, right? Okay, so single mothers, you feel that if government support ends, as it will, math is math, right? What will single mothers do if they don't get money from the government? What will they do? They'd find a man to marry? No, I don't think so. I don't think that would happen as much. No, I don't think that would happen as much. Why would it be tough for a single mother to find a man to marry her? Why would it be tough to find single mothers to get a man to marry her? Not because of me, no. Well, of course, men don't want to raise another man's kids. No, my God, I'm sorry to be annoying. You guys have to think dynamically, right? Everything changes, right? So if government stops sending money to people, then will women still want to have the general waste your 20s, travel, have sex, party? Will they spend their 20s doing all of that if there's no government money? No, of course not. Everybody's corrupted by money and power. So women will want to settle down with men, and this will be true of most women. They will want to settle down with men. Women feel greater neuroses and anxiety than men do, right? It's not that we feel none, but women feel a little bit more on average. And the way that women manage their anxiety is by voting for free stuff, right? Women are frightened in a way that men really can't understand. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, ladies. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you're downtown at 1 a.m, you try to call an Uber and your phone is dead and there's no one around, for a man, what do? You walk home, right? How comfortable do women feel walking around a city at nighttime? You're scared, right? Of course you are. I would be. Yeah, of course. Because you're half the size, half the strength of a man. And unfortunately or fortunately or whatever you want to call it, you are in possession of something that men want and some men, a few men, are willing to use violence to get. You're scared. This woman says, I regard all men as grizzly bears, no matter where and when. Yeah, listen, I don't think they could feel any more fear in a situation like that. My girlfriend was once home alone, and I joked, maybe there's a bear in the bushes in the garden, and she almost had a panic attack. Yeah, male, walked in all neighborhoods, no one bothered me, over 6 foot helps. So I'm almost 6 foot tall, I'm fairly muscular, and I've been working out since I was 15 years old. I'm confident in general. I know how to handle myself verbally. I look like I know how to handle myself physically. I'm not a big fighter. So how many times as an adult has anyone tried to mess with me? And I've been all over the place, all over different countries, night, day, travel, night. How many times have people tried to threaten me? Yeah, zero. It's not because I'm some terrifyingly imposing guy. I'm just a guy who's reasonably fit and tall and confident, right? And, you know, as men, what do? When we walk around at night, we walk around with purpose, direction, and confidence. And this is long, including speaking tours. Nobody has ever tried to mess with me directly on speaking tours. Nobody. Nobody has ever confronted me to my face calling me a bad guy. Well, of course, with speaking tours, I had massive security that I ended up having to pay out of my own pocket because let's just say the people running the speaking tour turned out to be not quite as excellent as imagined, right? I think one time I was at a restaurant and some waiter looked at me askance and I said, why are you looking at me askance? Do you know me? And he's like, well, I don't really like some of the stuff you say. I said, well, that's fair. That's fine. I understand that. If it's any consolation, I don't like some of the stuff I say either. In fact, I don't like a lot of it, but it just happens to be true. He was kind of snarky, a little negative. That's about it. Other times, like I was out for dinner with my daughter and these two wonderful Hispanic waiters ended up buying us dinner because they were so thrilled at the show. And most people are incredibly positive. And yeah, no, I've been all over the world at all hours, day and night. And men, like, we do not experience that level of physical threat. Again, I could be wrong. Like, when I was a kid, I was bullied a couple of times. But yeah, James, you're right. Nobody's ever messed with me in real life. Only online, internet coverage, right? Walking at night in London and young women are oblivious. They're running around drunk and wooing in very dangerous places. Right. Right. No, I've heard. I mean, people have emailed me tragic stories of women who are like, they say, don't go to this section of town, man. Don't go to that party. And they go, and it just ends terribly. Do you often get recognized when going out for a movie or dinner? It used to be. Yeah, it used to be the case. Since deplatforming, much less so. But it used to be just about every time I went out, somebody would want a selfie or chat or whatever it is. I've actually been in the most remote areas you could imagine, and people know who I am. So it used to happen for sure. Not so much since deplatforming, and everybody was very positive. Everybody was very positive. So, let me just get you a question here. Let me ask you this. If you're a man, do women listen to your advice about safety? If you're a man, your girlfriend, your mother, your sister, your aunt, if you're a man, do the women in your life listen to you about safety? Can't say so. No, my partner does. Nope. Yes, girlfriends listened. No. Right. No, not really, but they do. They don't do stupid stuff. Not if it comes with precautions on their part. I don't know what that means. 100% yes, yes, no, and later they come crying that I was right and they should have listened. My last safety advice wasn't taken. Right. Well, I remember reading this terrible story about this guy who said to a girl, don't go to this party, don't go. If you go to this party, I'm not going to, you're not safe. And if anything bad happens, I'm going to break up with you. I'm not going to, right? And she went to the party. She lied about it. It was safe, but she was crying. She was depressed. It turns out she'd been assaulted and he just broke up with her. Crazy, right? Somebody says, usually they think I'm being paranoid. My sister didn't listen. Her engine seized on the highway. It's tragic, right? Men in general understand male violence in a way that women don't until they experience it. Whereas we men, I mean, come on, we're dudes, right? Isn't it the case? One of the reasons people, you don't throw shade, you don't talk trash, you don't go up and yell at other guys. Like, why don't you trash talk and aggress against men if you're a man? Why don't you do it? We all know this, right? Why don't you do it? Consequences, yeah. Yeah, because you don't want to get punched. Because there's always a low-level threat of violence. That's men. That's men. Hit me with a why. Hit me with a why if you've ever had a friend that you knew was capable of violence. Like really capable of violence. Not necessarily eager for it, but, you know, hey, man, if it's on, he's in. I certainly have. Yeah. Maybe you've been that friend. So we grow up around that, right? As a man, you grow up around that. And do you know what is the purpose of male trash talk, right? What is the purpose of male trash talk? Does anybody know? What is the purpose of male trash talk? Because, I mean, it happens a lot, right? It happens a lot. Establish hierarchy, test boundaries, public schools, law of the jungle, to see if they're strong enough to not run away, superiority, to let lesser men go away, weed out the betas, weed out the weak, toughen up the hunting party members. Yeah, these are all fantastic. Can you handle the stress? To see who's stable enough. Right. How often is violence to the benefit of men? Right? How often is violence to the benefit of men? How often do we win out of violence? Just about never. It's almost always a total loss, right? It's almost always a total loss. Now, who gets into violent situations? What type of man provokes and gets into violent situations? What type of guy? What are his characteristics? Yeah, the insecure guy. The guy who's punchy, the guy who's got a wild ego, the guy who can't laugh at himself, the guy who's touchy and volatile, right? Like the bully in the Steinbeck novel of Mice and Men. So, yeah. Yeah, low IQ, something to do with that as well. Like low impulse control, one with a death wish, the foolish, poor emotional control. Guys that don't have much to lose, arrogant, rude, twitchy, insecure, find the moody, insecure one, envious men, yeah? Yeah. It's all ego because there are few tangible rewards. Defensive from abuse, right? So the purpose of male trash talk is to weed out people who will get you in a situation of violence. Can you laugh at yourself? Can you take a joke? Do you take yourself too seriously? Are you touchy? Are you insecure? Are you volatile? It's a way that men protect themselves from having that rando lunatic in the group who goes and starts a fight. Yeah, you laughing at me? That's a Joe Pesci scene from Goodfellas, right? I'm a funny guy. You think I'm funny? I'm here to amuse you, right? That's Joe Pesci, right? It's a terrifying scene because, right, the main guy is just laughing at a joke. He's, oh, and like, I'm funny to you. He goes from like, It's a touchy, volatile guy, right? Funny, like a clown? Yeah. No, it's not Casino. Is it Casino? I thought it was Goodfellas. No, I think it's Goodfellas. I didn't watch all of Casino. I walked out when they put the guy's head in the vise and popped his eyeballs because I was like, nope, I'm done with this shit. Like, I can't. Yeah, Ray Liotta, right? So, yeah, that's the purpose of trash talk. Now, for a woman, she does not face in public. A man in public, if he humiliates an insecure man, will face violence or the significant risk of violence. In public, if you humiliate a volatile or insecure man, you face violence. Am I right? I mean, I think we all know this is men, right? You have to be careful who you insult. You have to be careful, right? You trash talk with your friends so that you know that they're not insecure and volatile. Right? So, in public, if you anger or humiliate a man, you face violence. Now, again, in public, let's say at a bar, if a woman upsets a man, does she face direct violence? No. Why not? Why are women more verbally aggressive often than men? Because men face consequences of verbal aggression. And what happens if a woman provokes a man? Yeah, white knights, the other men will walk in to protect her. Hey, leave the lady alone. Hey, right? Sure. For sure. Yeah, men will be punished if he hits her. Men protect women, for sure. So this is why women can often have sharper tongues. They're more naggy. They're more verbally hostile, aggressive. Why women have developed these needling, poking, some women, right? Not all, obviously, right? But this is why this happens, right? So, however, in public, women don't fear direct aggression as much, but men do. But in private, alone, isolated, one-on-one, middle of the night, dark alley, women fear more violence than men do. Are you with me? Right? So in public, men fear more violence. In private, women fear more violence. Are we together on that? That makes sense? Now, a man, if you're a man and you walk in someplace lonely and some guy stops you, the worst he's going to want, for the most part, is he might want some money, right? And you give him your money, you're probably okay. Probably okay. Every man steps forward saying, pick on someone your own size. Secret power of tiny petite women. Can bully a man 6'6", 250 pounds of muscle. Yes. Yes. So in public, men fear aggression. Outside of the public eye, women fear aggression. So we don't really know the experience, as men, like we don't really know the experience that women have with regards to their fear of violence. So sorry for this detour, but I hope this makes sense. And again, please, if I'm helping you understand the world and have sympathy for people and learn to love even more, tips greatly appreciated. You can tip on the app. You can tip on Rumble. It's all very gratefully appreciated. And I hope that you know that I'm working very hard and sometimes dealing with volatile topics to bring as much wisdom, peace, security, and love to your life as humanly possible. That is my major goal with all of these conversations and what I'm doing. All right. Oh, Gonzalo Lira. Yeah, that's brutal stuff. Absolutely brutal what's happening to him. Yeah, I there's no words. It's just brutal what's happening to him. All right. So let's get back to single moms, right? So the reason why single moms, in the absence of government money, which is inevitably absent over time because of math, the reason why single moms will have a tough time getting a man is that in the absence of government money, women are more vulnerable if they're not married. In the absence of government money, women are more vulnerable if they're not married. And they're more vulnerable for a wide variety of reasons. One of the vulnerabilities is getting pregnant, right? Another of the vulnerabilities is STDs, because without socialized medicine, you have to pay your own bills. Another one of the vulnerabilities, of course, is living longer than men and needing $1.5 or $1.8 or $2 million to retire on, right? This is what Kevin Samuels, he used to say this all the time about women who are like, he'd be like, do you have $1.5 million to retire on, right? No, I'm talking about like no government money, right? So without government money, women feel significant anxiety. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying they will freak out. They will panic. And they will realize that without massive amounts of government subsidies, their lives become less secure in many ways, right? So then, given that the government isn't giving them free stuff, they will need a man to give them stuff as a whole, right? Especially if they want kids. So, en masse, women will try to get married to men without government money. It will turn into a virtual harem situation. And right now, the women don't have to compromise on their beauty standards or alpha standards, right? We all understand that, right? Yeah, women are fascinated by true crime stuff. Yeah, Crime Junkies is like 90% female audience, right? They're fascinated by the true crime stuff. So, women will flock to men, and they'll do what we all do, right? What do you all do when we're dating, right? You start at the top, and you work your way down till someone says yes. Hit me with a why if this is not your strategy. If this is not your strategy, hit me with a why, because I think it's a pretty typical strategy. You start at the very top, and you just work your way down until someone says yes. Are we together on that as a whole? Now, right now, women can start at the top, and they can stay at the top because they're subsidizing their attractiveness with sexual availability. Right? We follow that, right? So a woman can go up 3 or 4 points on sexual attractiveness scale. So a 6 can get a 10 if she'll put out. I mean, I hate to be so brutal, but these are just sort of basic biological facts, right? And then she keeps putting out for men that she wouldn't be able to get if she wasn't putting out. And then she gets resentful to men and she says, all men are bastards. They never call you back. They will never commit to you. And it's like, well, no, you're just aiming too high. I mean, if someone lies on his resume and keeps getting fired from his jobs, does he say there's something wrong with capitalism? Or all employers are just bastards? Well, maybe you stop lying on your resume. So women at the moment, the 6 goes for the 10, and she can get the 10, but women control access to sex, and men control access to relationships, so she can have sex with the 10, but she can't keep the 10 because the 10 is looking for another 10, but he'll dip down to the 6 or the 7 just to get his rocks off or whatever, right? So women, when they face the anxiety of having to fend for themselves without government money, they will start at the top and then they'll work their way down until someone says yes and they enter into the security of a marriage. Right? Somebody says, smart young conservative Muslim wife was friends with Kevin Samuel. Smart lady gives her husband what he wants and needs, and he provides for her. Families both of high status. They live in the same neighborhood as Bill Gates, that kind of high status. Lots to learn from that. I will say that I've been watching some videos of Muslim scholars, of Islamic scholars. They don't make no sense. They don't make zero sense. I'll just leave it at that, and I'll talk more about that another time. I don't want to get too off topic, but there is an understanding in the Islamic world of gender relations that seems to be absent from, like, so one guy, I'll give you an example. So one guy made an argument, and he was saying that he was accused, well, Islam has women submit to male authority, and he says, well, but men understand how dangerous men are. Men understand men's capacity for violence. And if you have a bodyguard and your bodyguard says, oh, you shouldn't go here, it's too dangerous. Oh, you should take this route, not that route, because that route is too dangerous, right? And you're under threat. Shouldn't you listen to your bodyguard? I mean, that's what I did when I was in Australia and New Zealand. My bodyguard said, don't go here, go there. Come in this way. Don't go in that way. This is secure. This is not. I just, yeah, I'll do what they say. They had authority over me because they understood the danger and were trained and studied the danger. And I was not in that way. So he was saying, if you have a bodyguard who is trying to protect you, are you losing out by submitting to his will? No, you're not. At all. Like if you have a dentist who says you need to stop brushing your teeth so hard because it's scraping down your gums to the root, and you submit to that dentist's authority, is that because the dentist wants to hurt you? No, the dentist wants to help you. So he's saying with regards to male authority, if women don't submit to male authority, they lose their virtue, their virginity perhaps, and maybe even their life. If men can't protect women from the men that men know are violent, then the women's life becomes much worse. And that's not the worst argument I've ever heard, I'll be fair. Is it an insult to tell a 9 that you're only with her because you can't get a 10, which is what you would really want? Well, I wouldn't say that. It's, of course it's understood. I wouldn't say that to a woman. Because whoever you can get, that's the best person you can get, is the 10 for you. Right? Did you understand? The top is what you can get, not what is out there. No, the 10 is not totally subjective. Otherwise, I guess it's becoming more so as modeling standards collapse across the West. But if the most you can make is $100,000 a year, that's your top salary, the most you can make is $100,000 a year, are you poor? No, you're as rich as you can be. That is your 10 in salary. Now, are you making as much money as Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or Steve Jobs in his prime or whoever, right? No, of course you're not making that much money. But you're at the maximum you can get, right? So let's go back to the single moms. So when government money collapses, women will flock to men. So men will have their choice of women. Now, if men have their choice of women, will they choose a young woman without children or a 30-year-old woman with 2 children? Like, my wife is a total 10 for me. I can't do better than her. I couldn't design anyone better than her. She's perfect for me. I'm perfect for her. We're absolutely 10. Yeah, they'll choose young women with no children. Of course they will. Why would you want to pay for somebody else's kids? Why would you want to have a creepy ex around who could be aggressive and weird and violent even? Why would you want all these legal complications? Why would you want to try and parent kids who can always say, well, you're not my real dad? Like, why would you want any of that? So, I mean, it's kind of funny, right, how a woman with standards is just a self-actualized, wonderful person who knows her value. But a man with standards is a shallow, creepy, controlling bastard. I mean, it's just really sad. And again, I don't take this personally. It's not the women talking. It's just the government money talking. Men who are threes will marry the single moms? Nope. Why will men who are threes not marry the single moms? They won't marry the single moms. Why are men who are threes, why will they not marry the single moms? Well, betas do now, sure, but why single moms don't? No, because they can get a 3 or a 2 with no kids. Absolutely, Joe. Bang on. There's the machinery working, baby. There's the machinery working. Women are like, well, he's got to be 6'2". And the man says, well, I prefer a younger woman with no kids. Right? But all women start out as younger women with no kids. Not all guys start out with 6'2". It's just kind of funny, right? Somebody says, yes, talking about standards with the normies at work made them so uncomfortable. They said, you can't date by an Excel spreadsheet of my requirements. I can't explain it. It's just a feeling. Yeah. The studies have been done. If you want to know how attractive you are, look at how attractive the woman who has committed to you is. In general. My recent ex, he says, wait, male or female? Oh, let me check. Long hair, slight beard. I'm going to go with male. Okay, if I misgendered you, I'm sorry. My recent ex is asking me to pay her out since she lived with me for a year and a half. Never made her pay a cent for the place. No kids. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, a woman's capacity to ask for money is mind-boggling. Am I wrong about this? A woman's capacity to feel entitled for money is mind-boggling. Now, men maybe feel entitled to sex or like, but isn't that wild? So to me, a woman who says, well, I had sex with you, so now you owe me money. Well, I think we all know what that transaction is called. Right? It's wild. Somebody says, I advocated for a little objectivity with my female friends on dating, and it did not resonate with them at all. Yeah, so women have all these standards as a whole. And again, I'm not blaming women. It's just blaming the state, right? Steph, my wife is a 9 or 9.5. I'm a 7 to 8. Well, if you're just talking physical, yeah, there can be disparities there. But in terms of overall attractiveness, you have to bring something to the table for her to go down 1 or 2 points, right? So, like, maybe you've got a great sense of humor, or maybe you're a great storyteller or something like that, right? My ex, I don't want money from anyone. I'm completely independent. Literally the day she's taking thousands from her family. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you owe me money because I slept with you? It's like, I really don't think you want that on your conscience resume. Right? You got a conscience resume. It takes a list of everything you're doing, right? Yeah, so women have these demands for things completely outside of a man's control. Like height. It's completely outside of a man's control how tall he is. Women have all of these requirements for things completely outside of a man's control. And yet, when a man has requirements that are completely inside a woman's control, like weight, suddenly he's a bastard, right? Somebody says, I went on a dinner date with a coworker, late 20s. Later, she quit her work job for no reason, then texted me asking for money for rent. Just insanity. Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Can you imagine? I literally can't imagine. I can't imagine what it's like to go through life knowing you can get $10,000 a month for taking your top off. Okay, let's try this. Oh, yeah, look at that, man. Pecs. I'm just looking for my $10,000 now. If you guys could just, you know, don't be sexist, man. Don't be ageist. Just imagine I'm a hot young thing with a great rack. I actually will get tipped to put my shirt back on. It says, stuff them bills in your shorts, baby. Yeah, see, I've been doing a lot more weights because I'm writing the book doing that way, so... Yeah, look at that. Right? I mean, no one's given me 10 grand for taking my shirt off. It's a wild thing. It's a wild thing. I'm sorry, my toes. You will give me 10 grand for my feet. As I've told you, my feet are... I mean, it's a good thing. I met my wife when I did because I was about to propose to my own feet. So... There are evolutionary reasons to focus on qualities that can't be faked. That's part of the height focus. Well, yeah. You know what else can't be faked? Being slim, which is the proxy for IQ. So, yeah. I mean, I get the height focus. This isn't free feet domain. Yeah, yeah, true. So, the single mothers will have a tough time getting men when all of the single women who aren't mothers will also be aiming to get those same men. So what will the single women do when the money runs out? What will the single women, single mothers do? What will they do when the money runs out? Now, don't be drawn into people's helplessness. That's one of the reasons we get hijacked and held to ransom or blackmailed in this kind of way, right? What will the single mothers do when the money runs out? make their single sons give the money. That's certainly true. Yeah, for sure. They'll start offering a lot of value when the money runs out. No, but they can't. They can't. How can they offer a lot of value? No, how can they offer a lot of value? I mean, the basic fact is that a man who marries a woman who's got two kids by another man is asking him to take on, assuming college and all that, he's asking them, if the kids are relatively young, how much money is she asking for him, from him for her kids? How much does it cost to raise a kid through college? Yeah, well, let's be conservative and say she's going to ask the guy for $500,000. $500,000, which is, do you know how much people make over the course of their life? What's the average salary over the course of your life? How much do people make over the course of their life? Yeah, about $1 million. Yeah, it's probably a little higher now, but yeah, about $1 million. So she's asking, and this is after tax money, so she's asking for the majority of his income for kids that aren't even his, that he has no authority over. First, you have to sacrifice 3 months' salary for an engagement ring. Oh, yeah, you can see these depressing videos. I'm sure they're CCP-sponsored, where women are like, how much should he pay for a ring? She's like, oh, at least six figures. It's like, really? So you want a traditional man who's going to spend a huge amount on an engagement ring because you're just so traditional and you just believe that it's the man's job and you're just so traditional. It's like, okay, are you bringing virginity to the marriage? Are you bringing chastity to the marriage? Are you bringing great homemaking skills? Because you're so traditional, right? You're a great cook. You're a great homemaker. You know how to raise kids. You're a great educator. You're a virgin because, you're so traditional. But of course, being an ubertart in the modern world and being completely untraditional and then jumping into the traditional role when you want something, she's bringing all of them kegels. Yeah. I mean, I remember one of the first things that red-pilled me with the Blood Diamond thing was like, I thought that this 2 month salary engagement shit was some ancient tradition from the Anglo-Saxon days. It's like, nope, De Boers had an excess of diamonds in the post-war period and just ran this huge advertising campaign and just convinced people to lay huge amounts of money down on useless shiny rocks. The real diamond is your soul, your virtue. People don't pay much for that, but man, they'll lay down huge amounts of money on some stupid shiny rocks. Okay, so what do the women do? Don't imagine they're helpless. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Yeah, that's right. Great song. Great pair of songs. What? Come on, ladies, you're here. No, they don't fight. What do the single moms do when they can't get money from men, and they can't get money from the state? And no, not just prostitution. What do they do? No. They move in with their grandma. Somebody had it earlier. Start a cult. No, they move in together. No, they move in together. They rent a house, and you get four single moms. They move in together. And then what? What do they do then? I can imagine them pillow fighting. You may have a slightly different... I always love that line from Seinfeld, Elaine talks about getting together after lunch with a girlfriend. He's like, oh, then you're just going to go back to her place and strip down to your bra and panties and have a tickle fight. And she's like, you really think that's what women do when they hang out together alone? He's like, yes. Yes, I do. Like it was really important to him. It's really funny. Learn witchcraft. Accumulate pillows. Start their own Amazon tribe. Four single moms move in together. Sounds like a movie about hell. No. They then start sharing a man. Not really. No, I don't think so. No, they watch each other's kids when they work. They just watch each other's kids when they work. They get jobs. And they all watch each other's kids when the periods getting in sync. You know that's a lie, right? I mean, I'm sure you do. You know that's a lie, right? That women, if they live together, their periods all end up in sync. No, it's a lie, but the truth is even more appalling. So the periods don't go in sync when all of the women, you know that. So you're a brilliant woman. Why is this myth? Why does this myth exist? It's incomprehensible to men, I'm telling you. It's completely incomprehensible to men. Why does this myth that women who live together get their periods in sync, why does that myth even exist? Yeah, the betas lie to please the alphas. So the alpha female comes in and it's like, oh, I'm having such period cramps. It's killing me. It's like I've got endometriosis. And all the other girls are like, oh yeah, I've got period cramps too. And they all just lie about it, right? Isn't that wild? It's like some guy came in and said, oh man, I ate one too many samosas last night. Man, my stomach is killing me. Oh yeah, my stomach is killing me too, bro. It's like, men don't understand. Like, men have no idea how or why this happens. It's one of the absolutely glorious incomprehensibilities of women as a whole. Will kids in a single mom group be any more protected mentally or physically than single moms going it alone? I feel like with the absence of dad, it would have a negligible difference. Oh no, gosh, no. Kids in a single mom group would be infinitely better protected than kids in a single mother household. Oh God. This is one of the main reasons why it would be so incredibly. Yeah, man, my balls just hurt today. Mine too, bro. Let's share an ice pack. No, kids in a single mom group, why would they be so much better protected? This is one of the reasons why it'd be great. Yeah, lower chance of predator men. Four moms is way better than one. They can watch each other, and they're not going to be men floating around. They're going to have access to the kids because the kids might all sleep together. They'd sleep in a big pile. They'd all be protected. They won't be alone. So, yeah, because you know that kids of single mothers are 30 times more likely to be abused than kids in a two-parent household, right? So, yeah, the women would all move in together. They would share bills. They would share expenses. And they would share child-raising duties, and they would watch each other's kids when people went to work. Other moms would check mom blinded by need for companionship, ignoring the bad traits of the man she's with. Right. So if you get, say, four single moms living in a household, and one of the single moms wants to date some creepy drug addict, what do the other moms say? Julie says, I'm a woman and have no idea what women do. LOL, I feel lost. That's probably for the best in some ways, right? Yeah, so if some single woman is dating some creepy drug addict or drug dealer or whatever, right, and she's living alone, she can invite him home and nobody says boo, right? But if she's living with a bunch of other single moms and she wants to bring some creepy drug dealer home, the other moms are like, no, you don't. Not in my house, you don't. No, you say, fuck no, he ain't coming in, right? No way you're bringing that trash near my child, right? So the children are far better taken care of in a house rented by four single mothers with kids. And also the kids have other people to play with. Now, again, I know it can be a blended thing and you're all on each other's roof. We could get in each other's grills quite a bit. But in general, I mean, I grew up with whack loads of kids. Like I was right at the tail end of the baby boom. I'm like 1 year shy of being a boomer. Like, what's that old joke, you know? Do you like kids? I don't know, man, but I see them everywhere. Like when I was a kid, there were just ridiculous levels of kids around. Now kids are really isolated, aren't they? Anytime you want to do anything with kids, it's $50, $100. There's a drive. We just used to hang out in the neighborhood and you just randomly play with any kids you met. Great social skills, spontaneous self-organization, enforce rules without a central authority. Yeah, they're playing video games. Social media, yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this may be older, or maybe you had that kind of household, but didn't you all just hang out with kids? Just all the time? Most of my good memories are with my mother when she was hanging out with the other single moms while we played. Yeah. Ironically, here we are all on social media. Yes, but this is a way better community, right? Yeah, dirty outdoor adventures. Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, the single moms living together would almost certainly provide a far better environment for their kids. I'm the last generation who grew up without the internet. But you see, the problem is not the internet. The problem is, and I think Robert Putnam, Putnam, you got to read his book called Bowling Alone. He pointed out that diversity destroys social trust, even among people of the same ethnicity or culture. So diversity destroys social trust. It's not the internet that's isolated people in general. It tends to be diversity plus the welfare state, because the welfare state means we don't need other people to get by. I grew up very early on at the beginning of the welfare state, and there were still these older social networks where you all watch each other as kids, you lend each other sugar, you bake more than you need and give it to the person who's really busy or whose husband is ill. Like, there was all of this social networking that went on when I was a kid that was still sort of left over. It hadn't been completely destroyed by the welfare state as yet. So I know that people, they're not just going to starve to death, right? They'll find some way to make it go, and that whatever that is will be better, right? Because you understand that fiat money is an addiction. Like, it's a corrosive, destructive, deadly addiction. And what happens, like, the addict, when his drug stops for whatever reason, he can't get his drug, what happens? He goes apeshit for a while, and then what happens? Money! It's the gas, yeah. What does the drug addict do after he detoxes? He says, thank God. Thank God. That was the best. That was the worst thing that turned into the best thing. When the drip, drip, dopamine, isolating, child-abusing drug of fiat currency stops, as it will, always does, 400 years, 250 years. And, I mean, the drug, if you have an intervention that works, the drug addict hates you in the intervention, and then a month or two later, or maybe a couple of months later, he's like, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for doing that. Now, let me ask you this, my friends. 1 to 10, how much value am I providing over the course of these 2 hours? Working like a surf over here. 1 to 10, how much value and clarity am I providing to you, and how much opportunity am I giving you to think of the world in a different, and I think more accurate way? Yeah, if you do a monthly subscription, that's great. I appreciate that. So, yes, looks like I'm providing a lot of value. So why has it been an hour and a half since anyone tipped me? I've noticed. I've seen. Because you're all going to go to Starbucks at some point this week, right? I mean, a little tip would not be the end of the world, would it? 10 will tip this weekend. I appreciate that. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. But, you know, just think of the useless stuff that you buy over the course of a year, and here you could be helping. Thank you, Julie. 11. That's very nice. I'm sorry. I thought you were just measuring the sexual attractiveness of my biceps. Somebody says, I'd say a 9 or 10. I can't get this elsewhere. Thank you. I'm a subscriber. I donate, and I also tip. Thank you. I appreciate that. Send a bunch of coins via the Freedom Man website. Thank you, my friend. I really, really appreciate that. Getting ready to cut a $25,000 final deposit on my first home. See, I just saw my eyes $25,000, and I'd be like, yeah, that would be a nice tip. I have to ask my man, for the dollars first. Do what you have to do to get those dollars for philosophy. Bruises on both my knees for you. All right, sorry, I haven't checked in over here. All right. Yeah, Justin Trudeau getting, he's separated. Whether that leads to a divorce, who knows, right? But I wonder if his wife, Greek War, has found out some of the stuff. Like, I think Melissa Gates, Bill Gates' wife, found his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein just too revolting and repulsive. And I think she just ran or fled from that. I'm sorry, listen to me, sorry. Let me just say this as well. Getting ready to cut a $25,000 final deposit on my first home. My friend, sorry to have blown past that. That was rude and selfish. I apologize. Congratulations. That is very exciting. Good for you. Well done. Very cool. I don't want to blow past that because I remember the first time I bought some property. It was an unnamed square of swamp in Florida. Oh, on top of the 9K already dropped. Good for you, man. That's very exciting. Welcome to the exciting land of property owners where the person you call when you have a problem is yourself. So you get all of that. You get all of that. Can a truth about Trudeau be in the cards? There's a lot of dysfunction in that family. Well, I've talked about that kind of stuff before. Rampant stuff in that family. No, I'm not on politics. James says ownership is so great. monthly, you say 10 value, monthly sub worth it, trying to get full-time work and off disability, mind improved, spirit improved with church, now get financial house in order, then maybe a love life. Listen, by the way, honestly, if you're broke, please don't tip. Like, if you're broke, I don't want you to tip. I want you to save that money and use it for bettering yourself and your life. Most people have a little extra, yeah, check out the couch cushions and stuff. But if you're broke, enjoy the shows, never pay a penny, never feel guilty, save it for when you've got some money. You answered two of my questions, planning on tipping later. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, you're leaving a one-bedroom apartment? Ah, yes. I remember when I bought stairs for the first time. It's quite shocking. I was just used to using stairs to get to the apartment itself. So, yeah, it was quite shocking. Ownership is great. Ownership is sort of a very powerful thing as a whole. Oh, I didn't even see. Hey, Steph, sometimes I take revenge on people who I don't like at work by doing little mischievous things like taking their coffee mug or stealing their pens. It gives me happiness and peace of mind to continue thriving in my job. Why does revenge, even when petty, feel so much better than forgiveness? Man, if you're going to take revenge, don't do something so petty. If you're going to take revenge, provoke them to anger until they lose their credibility in the organization. So, no, don't be the little, you're just small, right? If you don't have enough energy or commitment to do anything big, don't do anything at all. It's my particular opinion. Because you're also saying you're helpless to it. Like, let's say that somebody's destructive or bad or broken or whatever, negative in the organization as a whole. If you just do little petty things like taking their pens or whatever, you're saying that you can't ever achieve anything powerful and virtuous in your environment, just reinforcing your own helplessness. All right. Somebody says, I won't get into too much detail, but how do you operate in a moral fashion when you are protecting someone you love from someone else with control? It's the phenomenon of lying to protect someone from a murderer. Why would you love someone if they're under somebody else's control? I mean, assume they're an adult, right? So if they're an adult, then they should get out from under that person's control. Like if it's a woman who's married to some abusive guy, then she should get out of that abusive relationship, I would imagine. Why would you love someone who stays in an abusive relationship? Bad advising coming from a poor guy who needed his dad to stay in the home to protect him from his crazy abusive mother. Oh, that's not this call. All right, that's my wife just left and took my son. Freedom ain't calling. Yeah, somebody was saying the other day, like, why I didn't focus on that guy's childhood. Because when people... When people tell me that their childhood was good, I mean, I'm happy to take advice on this, seriously. What choice do I have but to believe them? Like if somebody says, oh no, my childhood was good, what choice do I have but to believe them? Any tips to provoke a colleague to get angry at work? Oh, that's easy. Yeah, no, I've done this before, honestly. I needed to get a guy fired. I was hired into a new company as director of marketing. I needed to get a guy fired. I was told I had authority over him. And then when I said, I'm going to fire this guy, they said, oh, no, you can't. He's been here too long. And I was like, well, that's the problem. And I laid out all the reasons why, and I wasn't allowed to fire the guy. So then in a meeting with management, he said something that I disagreed with, and I just calmly and patiently kept disagreeing with him until he lost his shit, and then they fired him. You don't have to be manipulative. You just have to stand up for yourself, and then bullies will explode because they're used to violence getting their way or abuse getting their way. And you just keep saying, no, I don't agree with that. And here's why. And no, I don't agree with that. And here's why. I know you're wrong about this because I checked with the programmer. You know, come be prepared and all of that. But yeah, you just relentlessly disagree with someone until they lose their shit, and then they'll get fired. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be abusive. You don't have to be destructive. You just have to be honest and stand up for yourself. You'd love to hear the full story sometime. Yeah, I had a guy who worked for me. I had about 30 employees, and I had a guy who worked for me. He was sort of head of programming, and he was just odd in that way. He was an ex-army guy and a big guy, like 6'3", 6'4", and a good 250 pounds, not really muscled or anything like that. And when I would disagree with him, I remember him saying, "You're really pissing me off now." And I'm like, "But I'm the boss." It doesn't mean I'm right, but you can't just, I wouldn't say that to an employee. I would never say that to an employee. So, and this was in a meeting with other people, one-on-one, whatever, right? But this was in a meeting with other employees, right? And I was like, "Oh, that's, it's a bad idea to talk to me that way. Like, that's not a good plan, right? Like, whatever you're going to do with me, we can have our disagreements, but do not talk to me that way." And I told him this in private, like, "Do not talk to me that way," particularly in front of my team. This goes all the way back to, there was this Jamaican woman when I was a teenager working in the daycare, and she kept contradicting me or raising her voice in front of the children with me. And I just had to take her aside and said, "Like, you cannot do that. This is not acceptable. Absolutely." And I was like, I got that job when I was 15. And I remember being really nervous because I had to be 16 to work there. I remember I had to get an x-ray to make sure I didn't have any lung issues. And but I basically said I was 16 and I got the job because I needed the money. And so, yeah, so this person was just talking about, so this person had a theory about why a customer deliverable was late, and it had to do with marketing over-promising and so on. And I talked to another programmer in great detail and got the facts about how this guy's management was causing problems with the project and so on. And I checked it with another person. And then in the meeting, he then produced this lie about how it was marketing over-promising that was producing delays in the project. And I said, "Well, you know, according to the information that I have, maybe that's true, but there's this other factor," and so on. And he would say, "That's never happened." And I said, "No, no." And I had some documentation. I said, I've checked, like, this did happen and this happened. And, you know, this, you made this commitment and didn't follow through with it and so on. And I'm, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying that I think it's really important that we are really upfront about what the issues are, right? So I just, you know, you just keep patiently, you know, "I got this information. No, that's not true." And he just blew up, just yelled. Because he was caught, right? He was just caught. And then he got fired. I wasn't intentionally provoking him. I wasn't, like, you know, insulting his wife or stupid stuff like that. You just get the facts and just push back against falsehoods. All right. All right. Thank you, Dad, for freedom. I really appreciate that. All right. I'm running low on juice, but let's do one more. The best revenge is living well. Well, sure, but I don't know. Why is it Julie's the same thing? Like, when one takes revenge, prepare to die with them. If you are pursuing revenge, then dig two graves. That's all nonsense. You know that people who've done wrong tell you that revenge is bad, right? That it's just a lie so that bad people can get away with stuff. People who've done wrong tell you that revenge is bad. And they're lying to you so they can continue to do wrong and get away with it. And then you can decide not to fight bad people, but feel like you're a good and wise person who's just not digging two graves because revenge is so bad. It's like, give me a break. Give me a break. The entire legal system is based on revenge, right? You go to jail because, right? So if you don't want to get rid of the entire legal system or any, should you have any negative consequences for bad actions? You understand, all negative consequences for bad actions is a form of revenge. So if you don't think anyone should ever be punished, nobody should go to jail, people who steal money should never have to give it back, there should be no negative consequences for bad actions, then you can lecture me about revenge. But nobody believes that, so. Sorry, Julie, love you to death, but that's nonsense. All right. Especially someone who listens to this show who says their childhood was good. No, he could have had a good childhood. But here's the thing. So if I think someone is dysfunctional because they had a bad childhood, and they tell me they had a good childhood, I have to take them at their word because I'm an empiricist, and the only empirical evidence I have is what they're telling me. I don't have cameras, I don't have footage, I don't have independent judgment or eyewitness. I don't have any of that. So I just have to, I can't say, "Well, no, you're wrong about you having a good childhood because according to my theory, you had to have had a bad childhood." I'm an empiricist. I can't put theory over practice or evidence. Staff listening and benefiting from your content for years. Your live stream a few days ago with the writer who was manipulated by his parents and projected that to you absolutely changed my life. It helped me recognize my childhood trauma that I apparently denied all these years. Beautiful. I was neglected, and I thought the whole time it was good. It wasn't. Until now, I refuse to recognize and address this. Thank you for everything. You've changed my life and the life of my wife and four children. Dude, four children. I tip my balls at you. Well done. That's fantastic. Good for you. And I really appreciate that very kind word. And your support is gratefully appreciated as well. I figure you don't take revenge at much cost yourself, but take it where you can get it. I mean, revenge is just consequences, isn't it? I really can't talk on people who believe some dude is the second coming of Jesus Christ. But savior fantasies are there in general so that people don't have to act against evildoers themselves because they believe that someone's going to come along and solve the problem for them with magic. And there is no magic. No one is coming. If you don't find evil, evil wins. You lose. We all lose. And no magic is coming to require that confrontation to not be had. All right. I think, what have we done here? Yeah, almost 2.5 hours. Fantastic. I really appreciate everyone tonight. Thank you so much for coming by. It absolutely means the world to me that we can engage in these conversations. You know, we're building stuff not just for now, but for, we're building a library for everyone in the future. Yeah, it's not a huge crowd right now, but that's okay. Sometimes the best jazz is in the smallest clubs, and we're doing fantastic work here. And I massively appreciate you giving me the support, the income, the platform, the questions, the commitment, the interest. And it's your sword and my whetstone, but produces these great sparks. That's why I love the live streams even more than, I mean, I'm doing like a big solo show, so to speak, with the new book, but we are doing incredible stuff here. And thank you, thank you, thank you for the deep, great honor of being close to the center of this conversation. I hope I do you proud every time I do a live stream. Every question I answer, I try to answer with as much accuracy, courage, and honesty as I can. And I, any podcast soon on the state of the economy, what economy? It's all the house of cards. I'm not doing economics really much at the moment. I mean, if people are interested, you can let me know. But yeah, I mean, I want to do you proud. I know that sometimes it can be difficult to support this show. And yeah, if you want to do the state of the economy, you can read my book, The Present. It's totally free, or you can listen to it. Somebody says, you're utterly amazing, Steph. You're helping me reach a higher level of consciousness, as best as I can describe how you help me. Thank you. Great community. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Superior Morality. I always aim to follow in your wake as well. Have yourself an excellent, excellent evening. Love you guys to death. Talk to you soon.